Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Take my body to the beach. Can you make my life complete if you put all your feet up and do the deep calm? Yes and no. Hey, you're listening to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas.
My name is Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, and this is my co-host,
Andy.
Randrew.
Randrew, please, well, I'm in trouble.
Well, I'm in trouble. And horny.
Yes.
That is a reference to the end of last episode, if you ever want to...
All these episodes happen in the same universe. Yeah. In case you're wondering, yeah. I'd like to announce that they're all connected, and there are characters that you pop up in both of them.
All the sketches set in the same universe?
Yes.
Yes, our universe.
Yes, the imagined universe.
What about sketches that are set in different universes? Are they set in this universe? Do you just have to change what frame of reference that you're in?
Yes, that's the challenge. Is one of all the sketches that happen in this universe,
yeah,
right, are actually all taking place in the mind of a boy who is trapped in a bear trap, and he's the life is leeching out of him.
Oh no!
Yeah, so they're all flashing through his mind. So, in that, that's going to really cut down on production costs, I think, when we come to actually make all of these sketches, is that none of them actually take place; they're all imaginary.
Does that cut down on production
yeah,
costs?
Yeah, yeah, I think yeah. so. I think the fact that they all just in his mind.
I guess, yeah. I guess other than documentaries, all films are imaginary.
Yeah. Or that was what happened with that TV show called Saint Elsewhere, right? It was a TV show called Saint Elsewhere about a set in a hospital, right? It was sort of like a soap opera drama.
Okay.
Many, many seasons, all set in a hospital.
Great.
And then at the end, like the closing shots of the show sort of reveal that the whole thing was taking place in the mind of the autistic son of one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
As he stared at a snow globe with a model of a hospital in it, or something like that.
And so they just implied that that's what happened?
I think so, yeah. Like, or a man came on screen and explained it.
I mean, that's kind of a fun reveal that you could have a series of sketches that are something very strange happens or something very
normal,
but you contrast it with whoever the person is who's thinking about it. Like, that you, right afterwards, it's a reveal that it's happening in the mind of somebody.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, it could just be two people eating waffles.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you pull out and you reveal that that is taking place in the mind of a man using a machete to hack the legs off a giant lizard.
Great. Yeah. Or an old lady looking into a snow globe.
Hacking the legs off an old lady looking into a snow globe. That's a bit macabre, Alistair.
I mean, that could be.
And it's good an on old her lady for keeping her focus on the snow globe. Absolutely. Because they are not entertaining.
Well,
like, to be distracted by a snow globe at a time like that, that's either got to be a very big snow globe, Alistair.
It's a very different generation.
It's true. They used to be more entertained by simpler things.
Yeah.
Back in the day, before they had anesthetic, they would just shake a snow globe in front of someone.
You couldn't afford
to be
bored.
While they were amputating a leg
yeah.
with a machete. And that was enough.
You'd be lucky if it was a machete.
You'd be lucky if it was a snow globe.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was just a globe. and they would just move it around. So your eyes following it, hopefully.
They often couldn't get glass into a round shape, so they would just sort of shine a light off of a bit of broken glass into your eye.
Yeah.
So you'd basically just be looking straight into a light.
In the absence of adequate pain relief, they would just try and annoy you and hope that the frustration would distract you from the incredible pain of losing both your legs.
So pre-anesthetic pain relief,
yes. Well, I mean, I guess there are other things that could be done, like in terms of just maybe just giving what would be a pleasant feeling to sort of overcome the negative feeling. Maybe just they have someone who comes in and it's their job to sort of slowly reveal to you interesting facts or pieces of good news that will hopefully release enough endorphins in your brain.
So, and the pesos is up 3 points. Oh, that's good. I guess, you'd have to do research on them, find out if maybe they're...
What sort of things they consider to be very good news.
Yeah, yeah. Or like if they're about to go to a trip,
right,
to Europe or something like that, you go, and you know what? The dollar's doing very well against the euro.
Right.
You go, oh.
So before the surgery, they have a consultation with Leon, who's going to be your anaesthetist for the day, and he tries to find things that you're interested in, things that you like, things that are going on in your life, and he'll try and just keep you positive.
Yeah.
Keep those endorphin hits coming. Oh, we're losing him. We're going to need something big.
We're going to need something strong.
She's coming out of it.
There's deep sea sharks that live up to 400 years old.
He's stabilized.
Oh, that's great. That's the longest we humans know that a vertebrae can live. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Oh.
Is that true? Are sharks considered a vertebrate, given that they don't have bones and they just have cartilage?
Alice. Well, look, I didn't know that. I thought sharks did have some bones, no?
I think they're all cartilage.
Are teeth bones?
No, they're cartilage. Those sharks' teeth, they're very soft. They look sharp.
Yeah, right.
They look sharp, but
are you telling me, wait, there's no sharp skeleton?
Look, hearing you say it back to me, it obviously sounds stupid.
Are they closer to worms than they are fish?
Sharks are completely floppy.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, you can squeeze them into a little jar or whatever.
Yeah, right. So like
very easy to get upstairs,
so like
which is
jam.
Good.
They're like... They're actually closer to jam than they are
to
fish.
Jam. Yeah. Technically. No, look, they must have bones. I apologize. And now that I think about it some more, I've seen shark skulls.
Yeah.
I've seen those big jaw things.
Those big jaw things, yeah.
Although, no, I've never actually seen a skull of a shark. You only see the jaws. So maybe the jaw is the only bone. Because surely if sharks had skulls, we would have seen them.
Look, I'm... I don't remember, but I feel like I've seen...
I don't think you have. I don't think you've ever seen a shark skull. I'm going to call it right now.
Yeah.
Sharks don't have skulls. Okay. They've just got a bony jaw plate sort of thing that keeps their teeth in, but the rest of them is cartilage and muscle.
Yeah, right.
And skin. And a little bum hole.
And do they have a cloaca?
I think they've probably got a clacker.
Yeah?
Yeah. I reckon they pack a clacker.
So is this... And that was another episode of...
whales work?
Well, yeah. How do you think whales work? So we assume probably. Do they have any kind of internal combustion? Where's the energy coming from?
Well, they're cold blooded, except for.
But the fire is hot.
The great white is a warm blooded shark, but everything else is cold blooded. I don't know where I have all these.
Shark
probably
facts.
Not shark facts.
Andy, maybe Shark Week.
Shark Week. Do you think it could be Shark Week right now? And I'm just sort of channeling this. There's so much shark information in the atmosphere right now that it has to come out in some form.
Man, there's this scientific, in inverted commas, webpage I used to visit. But there was also a lot of parapsychological and
bullshit.
Yeah, stuff on there. And I went on there, I had been on there for years, and I saw a thing that was like, it was a person writing this article as if this is very scientific, but they were saying that they found a lot of evidence of not telekinesis. What's the other one there? Being able to read thoughts.
And yeah, telepathy.
Telepathy in telepathy. Sort of in autistic children, and so they were like actual evidence like that, and I was like, I see, this is how you trick people, because you just say evidence, and then. Yeah. And then it becomes
you say actual evidence.
Actual evidence. And then
because people have cottoned on to just saying evidence.
Well, absolutely.
Right? So you've really got to raise the stakes.
Yeah, you got to say actual evidence or real evidence.
Proven.
Verifiable evidence.
Yes.
You just say verifiable, it doesn't have to be verifiable. Yeah. Nobody's going to verify it.
No.
We don't have the time.
You're just saying it is verifiable.
Yeah.
Trust me. Okay, of course. It's verifiable. You could verify it if you wanted to, but
I don't know if anybody's verified its verifiability. We don't know if that's verified.
I don't know if it's possible to verify that.
No.
I don't think you can prove a provable.
I think you can prove whether something is unprovable.
Yeah. But to prove whether something is provable,
ugh.
Who has the time?
Ooh, exactly. I mean, we've got cornflakes to eat. We got go-karts to go do.
What if, as well as Shark Week,
yeah.
right, there was this, just following Shark Week, yeah. there was Imaginary Shark Week. Where they just talk about some better sharks. You know, I imagine Shark Week is probably running out of cool things to say about the great white.
Yeah.
But an imaginary Shark Week, the fantastic blue shark.
Mm.
I think there's a lot that's still left to be said.
Sharks are dragons of the sea, right?
Everybody knows this.
Everybody knows that, right? And so
I believe you, Alistair.
I wouldn't
question
you
for a second.
It wouldn't be so crazy if you pictured a shark that could sort of shoot out a sort of a freezing beam, things like that in imaginary Shark Week.
Once you accept, as we have, the sharks are dragons of the sea. The shooting out of the ice.
Yeah.
Feels perfectly logical.
Absolutely. Some that are made mostly of stone, or at least their outsides are. Obviously, they've still got blood flowing through their veins, if they do have veins that are stone veins.
That's why they have to keep swimming. Otherwise, they'll
sink to the bottom.
Yeah.
And they can't. They have to keep swimming just to stay up.
Yeah.
Because the pressure and crush.
Do you think that, because apparently that's a myth, right? That sharks have to keep swimming, otherwise they'll die.
It's a bad myth. It's a
terrible myth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it was just a misunderstanding? Originally, the fact was sharks have to keep living, otherwise they won't be able to swim. And someone just got it a bit twisted around in their head. You know, because I think that version of the fact is probably true. And might even be verifiable.
They have to keep living if they want to keep swimming?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's true, because there's all those involuntary movements. I mean, then you're going into what is a swim
and what is,
you know. I mean, I've gone for swims that were barely even a dip,
right?
And then you compare that dip to a shark that has just recently died, and then its nerves are kind of still flailing a little bit,
around, twitching.
Right? He might go 10, 20 meters. That's way longer than the dip that I just got wet. Right, sometimes I'll go into the ocean and just to get my lower half in, and then you go, you know what, I've decided that's in enough, or you just kind of you wet your whole body, right? That shark has already wet his whole body. Does he consider that a swim? Anyway, look,
Alistair, I sit corrected.
Yeah, thank you very much. Look, I don't know about. Do you think imaginary shark, like where is the sketch going with the imaginary shark week or imaginary sharks? Or is it just it's about elaborating on Shark Week and like, you know, how much further can it go?
Look, I hate to have another pitch meeting. It could be people trying to pitch things to the Discovery Channel. Is Discovery Channel has Shark Week, I presume,
yeah,
right? And you know,
they'd be stupid. Not
Shark
to be involved.
Week's been really big for us, right? People love it. People love finding out new facts about sharks, but we're running out of facts about sharks.
Yeah,
right. So they come up with Imaginary Shark Week. Could just be a trailer for Imaginary Shark Week. Could be a competitive network that is going up against Shark Week.
Yeah.
During Shark Week, and they're taking it on with Imaginary Shark Week.
Could they not say that it's imaginary, and they just come up with a better shark than the great white.
That's interesting. It's almost like a is it Wag the Dog, that film where there's a sex scandal in the White House, and so they come up with an imaginary war. You know, yeah. They make up a country and say they're going to war with them.
Yeah, there's definitely some videos that are made up. Yeah, to make
so it seem like that, but with sharks, and
it's a new Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Somebody who's trying to claw back some of that you know, they've got all right. the people
they've got it sewn up. All the sharks, they've. That's their territory, right? We've got to do something. We've got to give people something more.
Like when Jurassic Park kind of found some bigger dinosaurs, bigger than the T-Rex, that they could sort of show off. And that, you know, one that's kind of got a crocodile mouth, Megalosaurus or whatever it is.
Then maybe the shark itself is not a funny enough thing to try and come up with a better version of. You know, maybe if it wasn't, you know, maybe it's turtles or something.
But yeah, but who's interested in turtles? That's the problem. Who's passionate about turtles?
Right. What about the network that runs Turtle Week in the same week as Shark Week, and how bad their ratings are? Like how they're really struggling.
There's bound to be some other sea creatures week that falls on Shark Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just their luck.
But I know. But so then, what did Turtle Week people do? Do they find a carnivorous turtle?
Well, they could try and do like what they've done with the 2020 cricket. Where they've made it faster, and they've added fireworks and cheerleaders, and you know that, but with turtles, I mean, they're strapping fireworks to them. And
but like, are they?
Maybe they're just surrounded by fireworks.
Are they taking credit for a lot of the great white deaths? They're actually saying a lot of great white deaths were actually caused by. What is actually an even greater killing machine?
The turtle.
The turtle.
The turtles live for hundreds of years.
Yeah, and so they kill more
don't,
people.
You don't get that kind of lifespan by letting sharks fuck with you.
That's right.
You got to show them who's boss. You get into the ocean. It's like prison. If you get into the ocean, you go up, you find the biggest shark, and you kick its ass.
You punch him in the head.
You kick it in the cloaca.
Yeah. Or in that nose bit.
I don't know about this one, Al.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
It's made me tired.
Yeah?
Talking about
Just talking about it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look, we can move on. I had this idea the other day where...
Outside idea.
It's called Keeping Up with the Begonias. Right? And it's just footage of two begonias near each other.
Yeah.
And it's a reality TV show.
Great.
And it's mostly... It's mostly narrator driven. Who tells you the story of what's going on in their conflict.
A lot of those shows they create the narrative. You know, it's really just a lot of unconnected footage, and then the editors and the directors, they're so good. They have writers for these shows. They can piece that stuff together to create drama. And I imagine you'll get the same people in on Keeping Up with the Begonias.
In many ways, that's kind of what I'm parodying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're just filming begonias.
Right.
And then, you know, maybe a gust of wind goes by or something like that. Or maybe you could just blow on it, and then you go, oh, it looks like left begonia is getting angry.
Or, you know, a bee comes in and selects one begonia ahead of the other begonia.
Yeah,
maybe the sun moves across the sky, casting the shade of the first begonia onto the second begonia.
It's casting shade.
Quite literally casting shade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is something. It's a little bit like Meerkat Manor. Remember that TV show that was basically a reality TV show, but with meerkats.
Yeah, but then I think actual things do happen with meerkats.
That's the thing. That's the crucial difference.
Yeah.
You've removed the actual things from this from the concept and come up with Keeping Up with the Begonias.
Yeah, Keeping Up with the Begonias, and so because I want everything to basically be manufactured. But maybe. Maybe, like, even having bees and shade and things like that is too much.
Mm.
'Cause
You're right. Well, like, I kind of like the shade. I like the sun moving across the sky.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. That is pretty involuntary.
Yeah.
Things like that. But, because, I mean, there are inside. There's probably not even any bees inside. Maybe there's, like, some gnats.
It could be gnats. It could be a fly. It could be a blowfly that is... buzzed in.
No, absolutely. A dead blowfly corpse. Yeah. Maybe it'd be nice to see that kind of decompose over time. That could be a nice addition. Like, it's sort of like a nice arc over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a weird thing to write down?
No. I don't think it is at all. I think I remember watching David Attenborough's Private Life of Plants, and they had a lot of time-lapse photography, which actually manages to make the growth of a plant look very dramatic and emotional. But I think we would avoid that.
But then what kind of, like, narratives would you put on plants, you know, like about, would you put sort of contemplation and, because I mean, that's kind of what's interesting is that, like, maybe there is, like, really big, deep dramas going on between these two plants, but it's all just spoken.
Well, maybe all the information conveyed in the narration is just facts about the plant, you know, so that the plant is processing carbon dioxide to form glucose and release oxygen as a byproduct, you know, all that stuff. If you can just present it as though it were
gossip, or
yeah, exactly, and scandal,
yeah,
and
see that, yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, it'd be great if you can, like, I think maybe in my mind you were kind of talking about, like. And then that one's wife, you know, sort of cheated on him, and that one, things like that, you know, like, and his sprog has gone off, and, you know, got a drug problem, but maybe that's too much. Maybe it is just, but, you know, you're just reading about, I guess you could get just like a biology textbook, read about cells.
Yeah.
And then
cellular processes,
and just kind of say it more like read it kind of accusatory in an accusatory way, like that. So it's like and then begonia
leftmost begonia,
leftmost begonia's
root system is engaging in transpiration.
Yeah,
I think that's something.
Yeah, right. Look, I've written down keeping up with the begonias.
Great.
The other day, and I'm sorry to bring in another outside idea.
Alistair, that's okay, because I have no inside ideas.
But it was discussed between us.
You and I.
Yeah, you and I. It was regarding crime. Oh, yeah, and making murder illegal.
Not making murder illegal, no, Alistair, sorry. As much as making being murdered illegal.
That's right.
Because they're banning homelessness from Melbourne streets.
Yeah.
It's going to become illegal to not have a home.
Yeah.
And hence, I imagine, compulsory to have a home.
Yeah, which, you know, is tough for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, especially people who are in between homes.
And who don't
have money
a home
or
right
want
now.
A home. Or
Is that a big thing for homeless people? A lot of them don't want a home right now.
Yeah.
Don't feel like having a home yet.
I don't want to put anything on them, but I also don't want to take anything away from them. So,
do you think they're? I mean, I think homeless people as a ground for comedy is probably A, been done, and B, almost always unfair and cruel.
Sure.
But do you think something about a homeless person who talks very rationally about not wanting to get trapped in the rental market, like their reasons for homelessness are, you know, they saw that debt, you know, rent money is dead money, and that they,
so it's just because they want to save up and get a deposit on a house.
Well, I'm not sure, because that almost makes too much sense. But the idea that they didn't want to get caught in this cycle, and so they live on the streets eating out of bins.
Yeah.
Is that? I don't know. I don't see any way for this to not be punching down. But
yeah, look,
to do something that seems so against your own self interest, but for apparently very rational reasons.
Yeah.
You know,
look, I think that there's something in that. Like, it's just. I mean, like, I think that's
okay.
Funny.
What about this? It's like a TV show that's like stories from the street.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people walking past these homeless people here outside Flinders Street Station will think that they We'll not give them a second thought, but each of these person has is an individual with their individual stories to tell. Today I'm going to talk to Jeffrey, who's been living on the streets for 6 years. Jeffrey, how did you end up here? Well, I looked around at so many of my friends who were getting into the property market and then others who were trapped in a cycle of renting, and I saw that, you know, rent money was dead money, and I basically didn't believe in, I don't know. Anyway, he goes
dead
on.
Money, yeah.
Dead money, yeah.
So forget it.
Forget it.
And then he goes, and they go, but so then you, oh yeah, I've got a job and everything like that, but it's just I don't want to waste money on things like food and rent.
Yeah, and so know? I'm...
clean clothes and all that kind of stuff. So, just live out here. It's just a life choice. I mean, obviously, the people out here don't really appreciate it because, you know, I'm kind of choosing to be here rather than a lot of these people are sort of in a situation in which they can't escape it. And so they kind of, you know, they don't like me about that. And I guess it makes my stay not as pleasant as it could be because
I guess often
they spit on me. And
maybe another reason they don't like me very much is my constant repetition of the fact that I don't have to be here and, you know,
yes.
Saying I chose this and I could leave at any time.
Yes, but I won't because of the rent money is dead money.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I do have a lot of money. And I could be spending it on getting us all out of here.
Yes. But I choose not to because rent money is...
dead money.
As I say, dead money.
I mean, my dad taught me that.
It was one of the two things he taught me. That European cars are very expensive
very
to keep
expensive
on the road.
To keep on the road. That's why I don't have one.
You can't get
the
parts.
Yeah, I'll get a Japanese car.
A Lexus. Which is European styled.
Yeah, it's a sort of, it's basically a fancy Toyota. Did you know that?
What about these people who are like, who say homeless people, who complain about fake homeless people? Okay,
yeah.
I don't believe this is a real, like, it's certainly not as big a problem as the people who are complaining about it make it out to be.
Yeah.
But that some of these people, they're not really homeless. They've got homes. They just do it to get money. They're trying to manipulate you and exploit you, and they try and get you, make you be sympathetic. Well, can we do something about fake homeless people, right? So a lot of these people aren't even real homeless people. And then you go over to them, and they're like, it's just a shell made out of, like, paper mache or something. Mm.
It's
a hologram, or
that's great. That's really good.
It's a mannequin. It could be a robot, homeless, right?
Yeah.
And you look, you can tell a real homeless person because they'll have a maker's mark on the sole of their shoe.
Hmm.
See this one here, that mark, that's not actually burned into the shoe as it should be. If you rub that, you can see that comes off. That's just a kind of a lacquer.
This one is actually a very advanced, complex bioelectronics. He's a hyper-real, like, man android.
That is capable of passing the homeless Turing test and convincing a human being that it is a homeless human being.
Yes, but he does it so that he can, because they can sit for longer periods of time with their head hanging low, and they can look more pathetic than anyone.
Yeah.
And so they can extract more, they're designed specifically to extract sympathy and money out of idiotic commoners like you and me.
And in this way, the jobs of the unemployed are being taken away by machines. Like a robotic beggar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nothing, there really is no job that a human being can have that cannot be taken away by a machine.
Yeah. Look, I think that's definitely a sketch.
Yeah. I got something out of that.
Oh, mate.
Man, I feel like each one of these is taking so much out of me to get it. I'm like, my energy levels are dropping by like 20%. I'm taking big hits from each of these.
And so each one is going to take even more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But as you know, We're trying to get 5 sketches, and we need to get 5 sketches, or else it doesn't even get released.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like we should, I should in a way be threatening my brain, saying, mate, you've already done all this work, brain, and I'm not going to give you any kind of reward unless you come up with more. Right? These are a list of my demands. I'm not releasing a single podcast until you provide me with 5 sketch ideas.
You know how people refer to serial serial monogamists as like being like Tarzan, that they don't grab, well, or, I can't remember whether it's that, it's like, but they don't grab the next vine and like they don't let go of the first vine until.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Grabbing on to the next one, you know that thing?
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful image.
Yeah. Do you think that we could sort of somehow turn that around onto Tarzan and say that he was kind of a bit being a bit unfair to vines?
Right.
Or that maybe somehow with relationships that he didn't do that at all? Like that.
Well, I mean, he was a monogamist, wasn't he? In that he was with Jane.
That's right. But actually, before
me Tarzan, you Jane.
Me Tarzan. But before he was with Jane, he was with Miranda. And actually, there was a bit of crossover.
Right, right.
And so he didn't like actually let go of Miranda.
He was actually clinging to Miranda,
holding
until
her like
had one hand on Jane,
like holding her, sort of clinging her like a baby monkey clings to the bottom of the of its mother. And then he...
I think I don't know if this works necessarily as a Tarzan thing, but could we do this as just a character trait of somebody in a relationship, just a regular person?
Yeah.
But who is so incapable of being alone that they can't actually leave one relationship until they are able to touch or grab. How's it this not gross? But like to embrace, you know, they won't leave the embrace of one person until they can go into the embrace of the next.
Yeah.
Which obviously it makes it very difficult to find and date somebody and get to the point of being able to embrace them.
So they do it a lot
while still embracing your previous partner.
I guess that would be one place where you could do it is maybe at a sort of a big, sort of like a big ball,
right?
You know, where there's a lot of dancing and looking over someone's shoulder.
Yeah,
and I guess
right.
You could meet somebody who's looking over their partner's shoulder,
yep,
or dancing alone.
That's true.
And so he either is very good at sort of throwing his voice so that the other person can't tell, or he, you know, I guess it would help if he was dating a deaf woman. And he moves from a series
of deaf women.
Or he moves from deaf woman to deaf woman. Or he moves from one deaf woman. If he knew sign language.
Yes.
That would help. But then it also does make it more difficult to...
I'm sorry, I'm getting a phone call and my personal circumstances have changed to the point where I'm going to take this.
Where you can take phone calls. Okay. So, hello. So he is in. Okay, I'll just try and keep doing this while. Okay, so he's in a ball. He's dancing, and now he's looking over the shoulder of the person he's dancing with, and he starts communicating with the other person who's dancing with either their partner or dancing alone. I've already said all this stuff, right? And so maybe if he knows sign language, that allows him to, you know, to speak in a kind of, you know, way without them knowing. Anyway, so somehow he closes the deal whilst dancing with this person, and then as the dance wraps up, he decides to let go of his beloved and sort of grab hands with the other person, and sort of say, introduces them to their current girlfriend, and then says to them, "This is, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. This is Miranda." Jane, I'm just going with the Tarzan names. He goes, Jane, this is my new girlfriend. We just met while we were dancing, while I was dancing with you, Jane, and I'm leaving you for her. And now I'm going to let go of your hand, but not until I grab onto Miranda's hand.
Alistair, that sounded all good to me.
Yeah?
I don't know what you thought of my conversation with Carly.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm going to write Tarzaning.
Yeah, great.
But I think that this person should also not just do that with relationships. I think that maybe he should also do it like he won't finish a sandwich until he's secured himself another sandwich.
He's like chain smoking, but with sandwiches.
Yeah, but he won't
get out of a car until he can pull it up alongside and step out the door into another car.
Or like, you know, he won't like leave a taxi until he knows that he's booked the next taxi for, you know, when he finishes work or whatever like that.
Sure.
You know? So he's I guess in many ways a very insecure man.
He doesn't like that void, that feeling of a void in your life, and that uncertainty of like, where is my next sandwich coming from? That's I know, right. As I'm eating the sandwich, I'm ordering another sandwich so that when I leave that sandwich shop, I have a sandwich with me.
Yeah,
and there's no risk of me not having a sandwich.
And it's not that he doesn't enjoy the present. He enjoys the present, but he enjoys the present knowing that there's a future sandwich coming.
Love, I love you. I love you, my love.
Mm.
But I know that nothing is permanent. And one day, for whatever reason, this could end. And I want you to know that I've got something lined up. So don't worry about me.
So don't worry. If you die...
Yeah,
I do have.
I've got. Yep.
It will hit me hard, but I've softened the landing.
I have something in the chamber
with another beloved, potentially. Look, I don't want to give it away to you. You know, I don't want you to let it occupy your mind too much while you're still living.
But trust me, I'm gonna be fine.
I'm saying this to you to put your mind at ease. I know it sounds like it's worrying, but don't worry.
This is a comforting thought.
Mm. Trust me, I am going to be fine.
Yeah.
And you are going to be fine as long as you keep living.
What can we do with those websites for having an affair, right? Like Ashley Madison, the Have an Affair website.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Like, is it... Okay. This may not be any kind of an idea,
sure.
Right? But you know that song, Do You Like Pina Coladas?
Yeah.
And Long Walks in the Rain, yep. And that's where like he puts in a personal ad.
And she does too.
And his wife does too, and then he winds up on a date with his wife, and they think it's wonderful, and they reconnect.
They realize.
They never realized the other person liked Pina Coladas and Long Walks in the Rain. Yeah. Which just makes me realize I don't know if my wife does like pina coladas or long walks in the rain.
That's right. And while she's breastfeeding, you won't be able to find out. So you've really come to this realization too late.
Yeah.
Or too early.
But is there something in an affairs website, Have an affair, but we guarantee that the affair will be with your current partner?
So it's the if you like
it's the pina colada
affair website.
Affair website.
And so
pinacolada.com, right? So, you go on, you sign up, you put in your wife's address, you link it to her profile, right?
Yeah.
And then it hooks you up for an affair.
Yeah, but you can only get into that affair if your wife is also searching. Like, so you put in who she is, and then if she eventually decides that she also wants to have an affair.
But she would have to specifically decide that she wants to have it with you, right? Or is this just one-sided where only one half of the relationship knows that that's what they want?
Or maybe what they do is they... Look, I think that that's a fun idea. I think that's a fun idea, and I don't want to take away from it. I'm just looking at this variation right now, where it's this website organizes a date with your wife for you. And makes you feel like it's somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Like, but your wife doesn't know that they've organized it. Your wife. So what they do is they organize the date for you, and you have to tell your wife that you've organized the date.
Life's short. Fool yourself into thinking you're having an affair.
Yeah,
would be the slogan of this.
Yeah.
Website. Right, and so it then somehow reframes your existing relationship as if it is a clandestine one.
Yeah. Yeah. Without your wife knowing.
So it still is an affair. She doesn't know you're seeing her on the side. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. She thinks that you're seeing her as you have been seeing each other
well,
for however
well, no.
long.
I mean, all of a sudden, you only start seeing her late at night when you've told her you'll be working late. Right?
Yeah.
But it's somehow... There's a setup where she doesn't realize this is going on.
Well, no, that does sound bad. But what... Like, it doesn't, you know, it sounds good too.
But I think there's definitely something in this. Like, yeah. Like making your existing real relationship feel... Mm. You're so, giving it the spark of an affair.
Yeah. I wonder whether you could do that yourself. Whether you could just go, honey, I'm going to be working late. Like
right.
that.
And then...
And then you call her up like 15 minutes later and you go...
Hey, what you doing tonight?
What you doing tonight?
I heard your husband's not going to be home.
Yeah.
Well, that is just role play, isn't it?
Yeah, but what if
how
you don't,
can we take
what if
it
you
beyond
don't
the
say
realm?
Any of those things? Like, you don't say, hey, I heard your husband's going to be home.
Right.
And like, you don't call your girlfriend.
Right, right,
like that,
right.
And you kind of go, you want to meet me in the car park? at like, you know, at the, you know, on top of, at the lookout.
So, and then the wife is talking to her friends and like, something's going on with Barry. Like, he keeps, I think he's, oh. What is it? Like, I think he's having an affair.
Like sneaking around.
He's sneaking around, but...
But with me.
Oh, there was a formulation of that that was going to work. That was in my head, and then I got too excited about it, and I forgot. Yeah, all right. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something. Yes. Is it a service? Is it a thing that you do to yourself? I think making it a service makes it much easier to frame as a sketch.
Sure. Yeah. Service. I'm going to put the other option as well, the pina colada.
Yeah. What was the pina colada one? I've already forgotten that. That's a website where you can only go on to get hooked up into an affair with your current partner.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, if that isn't already a thing, which I mean, look, I feel the internet is vast. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we went to pinacolada.com or longwalksintherain.co.uk, and that wasn't already a thing that you could do, where you go and you.
My solution for a lot of these ideas these days would be to create a GoFundMe or something like that for this, so that it's a vehicle to express this idea to other people.
Yeah.
But raise money as a joke, but then also if it made money, then you make it for real so that people...
It's a really good idea.
Yeah. And then, but then it's also, it's a form for this sketch to take. Yeah, to show people in here, and it's one of those things that they would have on TV shows like The Project or whatever. It's like, and this guy's come up with a website for having affairs with people, but only
the twist
is only with their current wives or husbands. We're speaking to him now. Hey, where did you come up with this crazy idea from?
You know, I was listening to that song. Do you like pina coladas?
You know the song?
Yeah, I do. Yes, yeah. I was listening to it, and. Anyway, I copied that.
I just copied that.
Copied that and made it into a website.
Made it into a website.
Turns out, you know how there's been all these lawsuits recently with like Blurred Lines apparently being a ripoff of Marvin Gaye's song and Uptown Funk. There was actually two lawsuits currently against Uptown Funk. Well, it turns out there's never been a lawsuit brought by the authors of an original song against someone who's turned that into a website. You know, I think by taking it from being a song, I haven't copied the lyrics or the rhythm or the instrumentation of the song or the being a song from the song. I've just copied the song but I've taken away the being a song from it.
I like it.
You know Songify? That app that will you can just talk into it and it turns it into a song.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, this is a kind of the opposite. You take a song and you put it in, and it turns it into a website.
A dating website. So say I kissed a girl and I like it. Right.
Right.
You put that in there. It's a thing and it hooks you up with a girl. Sort of not a woman, not a young woman. It hooks you up with a girl.
A girl.
And it sets you up. you kiss her, and you like it.
And you like it.
Because, you know, you normally you'd feel conflicted. You're kissing somebody who's underage. It's sort of weird. But it somehow builds a situation in which it's fine. Maybe it's a daughter.
Maybe it's a kiss of life.
Maybe it's a kiss of life.
Maybe we could have different options for this algorithm. Yeah,
maybe it's one of those chocolate kisses. That'll probably be the option a lot of the time. I kissed a girl.
Yes.
Could be a kiss of death. Maybe it's the mafia sends a young girl. They're coming to kill you.
She kisses you on the forehead.
But you want to die. That's why you like it. You see?
Anyway, I'm just spitballing here.
Anyway, this is. I mean, that's a whole other. The thing is that we had to create that app before we could create this website about pina coladas. We had to create the app. I mean, you don't know how much trouble it was creating an app that turns songs into dating websites.
You know, and the
de-songify dating websiteify. It's not even catchy. I don't even know how it's. Well, I think I might be the only person using it.
What was hard for me was, you know, when I first heard that song, Do You Like Pina Coladas? I thought it was, Do You Like Peanut Colliders? And I built a website.
A dating website.
A dating website for people to smash peanuts together.
Who like that? That's one of their interests, right? That's one of their interests. And that's where people with this very niche interest will meet.
And we rolled out the beta of that website, and then some of the investors came back to me and said, do you realise it's Do You Like Pina Coladas? And then we had to pivot.
Of course, then we took away the option of putting in the lyrics yourself, you know, rather than just taking them off a website somewhere, because that's what it allows you to do. It allows you to make mistakes. But anyway, we've still got this website. It still creates websites, even if the lyrics are wrong.
Peanut Coladas. It's still turning over millions of dollars
a month. It's actually one of our best products, is this Peanut Coladas dating website.
The profits from that allowed us to build this hugely unsuccessful fake affair empire.
Well, it's just a byproduct of having so many people in the world now.
There's actually trillions of people. There's so many billions of people on Earth now that statistically speaking, there are trillions of people who like smashing peanuts together and finding other people who are similarly into that.
Yes, and you know, marrying you all, you know, having an affair.
And then having an affair with someone who's into something a little bit different, maybe squishing beans.
Yes.
Or conkers.
Bean collider.
Yeah. That's good. Is there a song about that?
Oh, well, that's the thing, is that we have to now bloody make a song.
Make a song.
Or at least confuse a song.
I've got to have to make a song. Otherwise, this website will never get made.
It's actually easier to make the website through the app than actually to build a website from scratch.
Yeah.
So
that's how good the app is.
It's a very good app.
It's flawless.
You think WordPress is good? I mean, you think that's simple? It is, but it's still simpler to write a song about colliding beans. And so this is what I've just got a ukulele by my bed now. If I want to make a website, I just sing it into the microphone of my phone. So, you know, it usually doesn't have to be a complex song. The thing is that the song doesn't have to sell any records.
Doesn't have to be popular. Doesn't have to be catchy. Just has to be a song.
It just has to fit Plato's ideal of a song.
You know how we got this website so good? What we did was we built a very, very bad version of the website. And then we got someone to write a song about the website. And then we fed that song into the website. And it was able to write come up with a better website, which we then wrote a song about and fed back into that website.
It's crazy. I don't understand the mathematics of it.
I think it's something to do with neural networks and magic.
No, I couldn't figure out the next step. The way that I came up with writing this app is that I wanted to get a bunch of guys who like writing very complicated apps. I thought if I was, and that's how I met my wife. She loves writing complicated apps, but we met on this website that I built.
Yes.
For people
who love
making apps. And anyway, I couldn't get there.
No, that's
so So that's five sketches.
Look, I think we're going to have to stop there.
That's five sketches.
I know, and I think we're going to have to stop there, Alistair.
That's where you stop.
I can't come up with any more. I'm so tired. I can't come up with another one.
To be honest, talking about how you're so tired is slowing down the process.
I've got to get some sleep or I won't be able to do this anymore.
All right, ever again?
Yes.
Okay, well, look, Tuna Think Tank, I don't need to read that bit. Okay, so here's our five sketches.
Yeah, there's a point where you become so tired, you're no longer able to tell people that you're tired. And that is called sleep. Go on, Alistair.
This is pre-anesthetic pain relief. This is what they were doing before anesthetic. Sometimes they would distract people with snow globes, or they would annoy them. That would be one way during surgery. If you just annoyed them, you sort of flick their nose and sort of tickle their eyes or pulling little back hairs, but then also they would employ a distractor.
Yeah, just entertain them with interesting
learn
facts.
Things, yeah.
About whether or not sharks have skulls.
Then we got my outside idea, which is sketch number two, which is keeping up with the begonias. And it's mostly a parody on reality TV shows, and you kind of just film two begonias and then you add a narrator to it. Which is, I know, cheap writing.
Yeah.
But in this case,
I think it's the only option.
It's the only option.
Because there's only one thing that's cheaper than writing narration. And having it around, and that's writing a talking begonia.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
And that's why it happens so little in films, because it's really looked down on as being poor filmmaking.
Then we got people who complain about fake homeless, but then these are really
Mark Scorsese. His early films had a lot of talking begonias. And it wasn't until he got rid of those that his filmmaking really started to flourish.
Yeah, well,
he had a mentor who told him.
A lot of people think that Reservoir Dogs is Tarantino's first film, but he's got a hidden one away that he did it.
Hundreds of
films. He's actually got a very early first film that he's managed to bury.
Bury. He bought all the copies. He had them destroyed.
He had them destroyed. It's all talking begonias. Begonias with sort of gangster voices and sort of in very kind of like.
Okay, look, I think that's almost a sketch, Alistair. I know I said I was too tired to come up with another one, but I think something about a lot of people's early films, they fall back onto these easy or these hack premises, and one of them is talking begonias, and that a lot of famous filmmakers have got these, these early works that include that thing. And they're just ashamed of them.
Yep.
Alan Smithy, they've a lot of them have got like Alan Smithy as they tried to get their direct, their name off the off as the director.
Yeah.
Later life. The Star Wars Christmas special. People think that was bad, but it's not nearly as bad as the Star Wars the Begonia Menace.
Oh man, I just realized I don't know how to write Scorsese.
No, well, do you know how to spell begonia?
No, I don't either. Then we got so fake homeless, and this is it's about people who complain about fake homeless, but we're just showing different types of fake homeless. Some of them are made of paper mache.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some of them are just shadows cast on a wall.
Yeah, some of them
clever shadow play.
Yeah, some of them actually have like a sort of a they live under carports. And so it's not technically homeless. They got like they're portful,
right?
But they're homeless. It's kind of still a home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about people?
But mostly it's the complex robotics that are
What about people who are actually homeless but are fake homeowners? In that they look like they have a home, but if you go in, that's all. It's just a facade.
Oh,
they're actually homeless behind there.
Yeah, they're fake homeowners. So the home is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like one of those kind of ones, like in a movie.
Or it's a hologram, or the house is a robot.
Yeah.
Or it's actually someone else's house, and every day they chat to the neighbors, they sit on the porch, they when people are going around the corner, they're waving at them as if they're about to go in the front door. And then they go around and they sit around behind the house.
But then there's also fake homeless that are people who don't have fake homes.
In a way, a lot of us are fake homeless.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are and that's also.
I think fake homeowners. Can you just write down the words fake homeowners?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a good rebuttal to the people who complain about fake homeless people.
Who just go and say their wife, they sort of trim at the roses.
Yes.
They do a lot of rose pruning.
Dude, yeah.
The gardening.
Yeah.
They're sort of like squatters, but that just stay on the outside of the house. And
they actually maintain the yard. It's actually very quite good having them around.
You know, he doesn't, you know, then he walks away and then he gets into a Mercedes.
Actually, once offered to leave his... That does not make any sense. That is the worst and the best. You fuckhead. Right, keep reading these. We've got a... at the moment, we're coming up with new sketches at a greater rate than we are reading the old sketches, Alistair.
I know. This looks like it says Tanzania. Oh, no, it's Tarzaning.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who just Tarzans with everything. So
everything.
He never leaves a woman before grabbing onto another one. Mm-hmm. He never leaves a sandwich before grabbing onto another one.
Mm-hmm.
Never lets go of a stubborn opinion before grabbing onto another one.
Indeed. This man probably actually has a terrible form of obsessive compulsive disorder, and we shouldn't
be writing a sketch about him. We should be finding this man help.
Yes.
So this is a service like Ashley Madison, which offers a... Fuck, I didn't actually write down the... like the whole... Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
So it's a service like Ashley Madison.
We've got too much anyway.
Yeah, Pina Colada. But it's like, it's called the Pina Colada Affair website, which only organizes affairs with your wife.
They know.
But I think that whole the whole music app thing, that's got to be a sketch.
You think?
I think that's the first time in so long. This is like the above a bowling alley.
Yeah, sketch. The first time in so long that we've come up with something that is physically impossible to turn into a sketch.
I think it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Well, you get me that draft that you said you get me of the restaurant sketch, and then we'll move on to this one because I'm Tarzaning impossible sketches, and I won't
let go of that one.
Yeah,
great. This one. And then it's a lot of the director's early films fall back on old tropes, one of which is talking begonias. And
my lord!
So
I think given how tired I was,
yeah, and I think this one, this actually app really picked up after. Maybe probably 25 minutes. That's when it really picked up.
That's when you guys should start listening.
So if you're recommending friends, anyway. Boop, 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 boop.
That's what I think about that. That's what I say about that. That's what I think of. That's what I say. That is all I have today. Thanks for listening to the show. If you would like to tell people about it, do so.
Go for it. Sign people up on purpose, subscribe.
Somebody did a review on iTunes the other day.
It was very nice.
Felt so good.
Oh, man.
It felt amazing, and I've had twin boys in the last week.
Yeah, he's had twin boys in the last week.
And I got such a thrill.
The endorphins were comparable. They didn't get blocked out by having the twins.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that the twin boys didn't make me feel better.
No, I know.
But then the iTunes review. But at least when I saw the boys, I knew. Oh God, this what I'm feeling right now is pure happiness because I remember this feeling from the iTunes review.
Yeah,
so it's helped. Just help me calibrate joy.
Great. And you knew that you're sort of bringing the boys into a better world. Like, they'll be more prepared.
That's
they'll be able
true.
To see that his dad gets good reviews on iTunes and things like that. You know?
Yeah, so I can look him in the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be tough at this
point. Barely open eye.
So, you know, if you want us to have better relationships with our children because they're more proud of us over time, things like that, then...
And you're not doing that for us. That's not
for us.
Yeah,
it's not for us. It's just think about what you're doing as a favor for children. So if you want to rate us and write a review.
You wouldn't want my kids to not respect their dad, would you?
Would you?
Does this sound pathetic? I hope this doesn't sound pathetic, but I'm just...
I mean, I hope this doesn't come across as begging, because we're not real beggars.
I hope this doesn't come across as begging, but you wouldn't make me look bad in front of my son.
My girlfriend barely talks to me anymore because...
And I need this.
I need this.
And I'm begging you.
I'm begging you. I hope this doesn't come across as begging. Please. Yeah, and then, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that. Just Google our names. You know, I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
Just Google L's name.
Anyway, thank you very much. We love you very much. And have a really good life.
We love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.